And he underscores it a second time. Watch. Watch and pray, but watch. And watch. And of course, he gives that mini parable about the gatekeeper who the Lord of the house warns him to be on the watch so that when he comes back, everyone else in the household will know because the gatekeeper will announce it. And so he must be especially ready. But watching is the key. And the means by which you watch is ultimately how you will be ready or not when the time comes, when the Son of Man returns, or when you face the judgment seat of Christ. Most people do not watch. Most Catholics are not vigilant about their faith. Too many are vigilant about the things of the world, the temporal matters, temporal concerns, paying much attention to it, but not much attention to the spiritual life. What causes that, of course, is the reality of concupiscence, choosing the lesser goods of the world over the greatest good that is God. And part of it is the enemy exploiting concupiscence, convincing us that the world is the end-all be-all, and that God is somehow just there when we need him. But otherwise, we don't need to be concerned with him, because he is concerned about our prosperity and our lives, and therefore we can ignore him. Nothing can be further from the truth as we listen to the Christ himself warning about his second coming. And so since the Church has us in Advent contemplate the first coming of Christ at the Nativity, she also has us contemplating the second coming of Christ when all the work done by Christ is consummated. Consummation of all things. Oh yes, the work of salvation and redemption was done, and it continues every time we're at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. But the consummation of all things is when Christ finally destroys evil himself. He does so at the second coming. He does not come as the pot-smoking hippie who skips and tells people to roll in the hay and the flowers with him. He comes on a white horse and a sword, and the blood that is on him is the blood of the people he himself has killed, who are on the side of the evil one. Because Christ came to destroy the power of sin and death, and therefore when he returns, he will destroy sin, and the evil one will be cast into hell forever. And those who are with him, those who are under his service, Christ will cut in half. And then they will be judged and they will spend eternity in hell. Not because Christ is so mean, but because they were so mean to choose to reject redemption. And so the destruction of all things is what we should consider then with regards to being watchful. How is it that you are watchful? You keep your mind set on death. Now some would say that being mindful of death would lead to you to be despairing and joyless. It's actually quite the contrary. If you contemplate the reality of death, because if you are Catholic, if you're truly Catholic, you know there is no mystery to death. Death is, by definition, when the soul, which animates the body, leaves the body. A living person has a soul, a corpse does not. And as soon as you die, and death is a consequence of Adam and Eve placing themselves under the dominion of the devil, God never intended it for the human experience, because in sanctifying grace and eating the tree of the tree of life, the tree of immortality, Adam and Eve would stay alive forever. But they chose to be subservient to the devil, and the devil rewarded them with death. The wages of sin is death. Death is a product of the evil one, not of God. And so therefore, if you're truly Catholic and you know this, you know that as soon as you die, your soul goes right to the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. It does not go and say goodbye to all its friends. It does not go into a field of lilies and think about how wonderful it is to be free of the body. It doesn't go up, as some people say, to play golf or to play cards for eternity, because there is no body for that soul until the end of the world. Only Our Lady and Our Lord in heaven have body and soul. Enoch and Elijah are considered to be someplace else because they will die at the hands of Antichrist when they return to preach against Antichrist, whom the world will love and adore, and whom Catholics who are not faithful will love and adore, because they were not mindful of the reality of death. They live for the world and not for Christ. So if you know that the soul goes right to Christ as soon as you die, why fear death? Now, God gave us a natural instinct to preserve life, that is for certain. But a Catholic is not supposed to fear the reality of death. He preserves this life because he appreciates it. It's a blessing from God. But he knows that death is the consummation of all things, that it's the actual completion of his baptism. For even Our Lady Mary Most Holy had to pay tribute to death in her great dormition, but she did not die as we know it, because her soul would not leave her body, because she was conceived without original sin. She was assumed body and soul into heaven. Whereas you and I, the soul is taken from the body by the power of sin and death, and then escorted to the judgment seat of Christ. And therefore, if we are mindful of what death is, then we have nothing to fear from it, unless we are obstinate, stubborn sinners who have absolutely no relationship with Christ. Because is that not the key to the whole thing when we hear what our Lord says about the end and about the sentence he passes to the wicked, the unjust, the sinner? I do not know you. I do not know you. Only those he knows will he let into the kingdom. Those he does not will be with the evil one and consigned to hell for eternity. So if you are a Catholic who knows this, then you are not afraid of death, because you know you must face the judgment seat of Christ. And if you have lived for Christ, then you're not afraid of the judgment seat. And if you live the sacramental life of the church, where Christ himself acts as Redeemer, giving you his life and a share in his suffering and death at your baptism, giving you restoration because of the awful power of sin at the sacrament of penance, giving you his very self, body, blood, soul, divinity in the Blessed Sacrament, and that's how you come to know him, by the way, by meditating on him at the Mass and when you have received him. And that's when he's Redeemer. And that's when we should know him very well, because at his second coming, or when you and I die, he is only judge. He will no longer be Redeemer, and he will show no mercy, because he gave us ample opportunity for mercy in this life. So you see, those who are afraid of death, especially if they are Catholic, are either living in obstinate sin or do not know Christ at all, which means they're still living in obstinate sin, sins of omission. They're not living the faith as they ought. They're not caring for their souls. They're not concerned about eternity. And therefore, the prospect of death frightens them. And as a result, they do everything in their power to avoid it. But if they were truly Catholic and truly knew Christ, they would live courageous lives. The benefit of contemplating death is that reality. You begin to care more for your soul than for anything else. You literally are on a watchtower, as it were, a little bit above, or better yet, you're at the gate, watching for the return of the Christ. If you contemplate death, you know that everything in this world is going to be destroyed at the end of all things, the end of time, but also that your own body is going to die and end up in the grave. And therefore, why would you put all your energy into the things of the world when eventually you're going to have to leave it all behind? If you contemplate death, you end becoming a materialist. You end thinking only about the world in which you can see and touch, and the things that you can taste and smell and hear. If you're materialist, that's all you care about. And the things of the soul, the intangibles, which are far more important, you too readily dismiss. And of course, if you do that in life, I guarantee you, Christ will dismiss you at the judgment seat. Because he's not going to force you to stay in heaven for an eternity with him whom you ignored in your entire life on earth, which was short compared to eternity. He's not going to be so mean as to force you to stay in heaven. Oh, we want to believe that love is that confining, and that love is that imprisoning. But it's not. Love is liberating. And Christ owes us nothing. And he chooses to love us as an act of the will and gave us everything on the cross. And if we do nothing in return for the great gift of redemption on the cross, which is why we contemplate the first coming of Christ in the Nativity, as well as the second coming of Christ in Advent, then our perspective on life changes. We know it's about living life that is worthy of a life, death, horrible passion, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There are other benefits, too, by the way, of contemplating death, not just detaching you from the world and making you realize that all of the things you're worried about, all the money or the house or the car, all those things are pointless because you could die at any moment. We're all just one breath away from death. And if God so chooses to call us, it happens. Nothing really matters in that respect. The things of the Spirit are far more real than the things of the world. But those intangibles will become more important to you if you contemplate death. Again, you're not going to be joyless and despairing because you know what death is, a necessary punishment for the original sin. And you know that your soul will go to the judgment seat of Christ, so therefore you're going to live life that is worthy of Christ and worthy of right judgment by the Christ, just judgment. But also, because you are contemplating death, you appreciate life and you appreciate every moment of it. Because you realize it is a gift, not to be squandered, but to be fully lived, to glorify God, and to meet the ends that God has called you to do the duties you have according to your state in life. And believe it or not, if you contemplate death, you will do those things with joy. Even the most mundane or perhaps even irritating thing, you will do it with joy because you know it glorifies God, and you want to live for God, and you want to live to be judged as worthy of the Christ in his suffering and death on the cross. So you won't abandon your responsibilities, but you will put them in their proper perspective. And think of it, if you contemplate death, you will actually start to appreciate the people in your life. Because not only will you recognize that you could die at any moment, but the people you love could die at any moment. And then suddenly you realize you should appreciate every moment you have with those you love. You parents would never again find your children to be irritating if you thought they could die at any moment. Nor would you let them get away with sin, because you would know that they would face the judgment seat of Christ as soon as they die, and you would want them to be judged worthily. So you would work for their salvation. No longer would you find your spouse in any way, shape, or form irritating, even if they're behaving in a way that is untoward towards you with regards to charity, because you recognize that they could die at any moment. And not only do you not want to lose them with regards to the reality of life as it is experienced, but you necessarily will, but you don't want to lose them to hell by virtue of you becoming a problem for them because you brood over injury, or you're always upset about the past, or you're looking for a reason to be angry because the person you love the most is the one you will always be most vulnerable to and therefore will irritate you the most. Which is why our Lord imbued holy matrimony with graces. That's why he made it a sacrament. It calls you to die to yourself. And if you recognize that death is the completion of the baptism, and that yes, your spouse could die at any moment, you would never squander the time of the spouse. You'd never not appreciate the spouse. You'd never be hypercritical of the spouse. You'd never be irritated by the spouse because you would recognize that each moment, each day could be the last day you have with your spouse. And then you would never again treat them as though there's a guarantee of a tomorrow. Each day you experience life with your children could be the last for your child. And therefore you never squander the time of the children. Treating work as more important, treating money more as more important, or worse yet, treating disagreements between you and your spouse as more important, and arguing and making life difficult for your children by showing them the ugliness of unnecessary conflict. You would never do that again if you contemplate the reality of death, because you would want life to be in service to God, in service to charity, in service to authentic love, in service to Christ. And you would live in imitation of Christ. You see, if you contemplate death, it does not make you a joyless creature filled with darkness and despair. That's what the devil wants you to believe. He wants you to believe that death is an awful mystery, that you don't know what's going to happen. It's all uncertain, because he wants you to believe the world is the end-all be-all, and you live for only material things. That's why he's hijacked Christmas, Christ Mass, and made it about presence and materialism and sentimentality, and not about an act of the will where you worship the Christ for coming into the world in obedience to God the Father for our salvation. He wants you to be a rabid materialist, a self-centered creature who is only concerned about his own happiness. That is a sure path to hell and a very imprisoning and sad, lonely life. That's why there are so many despairing people in this world. That is why there are so many people that are so afraid of life itself. Because they don't appreciate it. Because they never contemplate the Lord of all life, the one who conquered death, the one who actually died himself to use the very weapon of the devil to defeat the devil, so that you and I would not know death as a permanent state, but would experience it as a necessary completion of our baptisms to share in what Christ himself shared. For as he said, the servant is not greater than the master. If you and I know that death is inevitable and can come at any time, we'd be watchful. We would be caring for our souls. We'd be charitable and truly loving to those we claim we love. And we would truly be concerned about the things of heaven, and we would use the things of the world to advance our life with regards to the things of heaven. We would indeed be living for Christ instead of for ourselves. It is worthy to contemplate the reality of death if you're truly a faithful Catholic, because in the end, you know there's no mystery to it. It'll make you appreciate life. It'll make you appreciate your loved ones. And most important of all, it'll make you appreciate Jesus Christ, the conqueror of sin and death, and our only hope. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.